Okay, praise the Lord. So we are looking at the zealous believer. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says in Galatians 4:18, but it is good to be zealously affected always. It says in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. So zeal, ladies and gentlemen, is not only when certain people are around. Like imagine you are excited about your relationship when your partner is there, or when your partner is not there, you can speak evil about them. No, that man, he's so selfish. He saw this, he saw that. Or that lady, she saw this, she saw that. So it means you are not zealous about that person. Praise the Lord. Even your church. So when you go to church, it's the best church ever. But when you're not there, oh, the leaders are like this, the leaders are like that. It shows there's something wrong there. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present. So your zeal shows how much you are on fire for God. Some of us, when we first started out as believers, oh, we love the Lord. Oh, yeah, we love the Lord. Let me read a comment by Lois, right? I think I asked you guys to share. So Lois says, on Tuesday, I had absolutely no money, not even transport for food. But God showed up for me in the most unexpected ways. That morning, a classmate who never calls me randomly reached out and offered to take me to school. I haven't even told anyone I was struggling. Lois, 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 Lois. Later, I received free lunch, something I hadn't planned for at all. As if that wasn't enough, a church mate offered to take me home from the hospital. Hey, we bless the Lord. These are all random acts of kindness from people who had no idea what I was going through. It reminded me that God sees everything, even the silent prayers and hidden struggles. He provides in ways we cannot predict, using people we least expect. I'm so grateful for his faithfulness and the gentle reminders that I'm never alone, not even the smallest things. To God be the glory. Perfect. That's amazing, Lois. I'm so happy you experienced God in such a way. Praise the Lord. So your zeal is an indicator of your strength in the Lord. This is very important. Your zeal is an indicator of your strength in the Lord. So even as we are learning tonight, we are looking at the things that can make your zeal go down and what you have to look out for. Because in this life, Christians, if you've noticed, life can be hard. And when life becomes hard for people, usually the first people they attack are the Christians or the church. No, God has not been kind. The thing is, what I'm going through. And so the average Christian decides to, move away from the church because they're going through something. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion. Now, if the Bible describes the devil like a lion, it might be something you want to learn about in the characteristics of a lion. Now, I love watching Animal Planet or the Kingdom, the Animal Kingdom rather, right? And I notice certain things. The lion does not attack the strongest Christian or the strongest person in a group. Usually they attack the weakest. And so you find this lion, and then the lion usually doesn't even hunt. The females are the ones who hunt. So we bless the Lord for females. So the male is just there intimidating every creature. And when it roars, they get scared. It brings confusion so that the females can now start attacking. They usually attack the weakest link. In your moment of weakness, in your moment of frailty, in your moment of struggle, that's the time to cling on to the believers. Because if you decide, I'm going to handle it on my own, what you're actually doing is you're making yourself a target for the enemy. The enemy does not understand that you had a recent breakup. No, he doesn't understand. The enemy doesn't understand you have bills to pay for. So you need a break. The enemy does not understand that. The Bible says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, what is the enemy's plan for your life? To destroy you. You know what it means to be destroyed? To become a shadow of who you are. Like people can't recognize who you are. Have you ever seen people who, after a while, you can't recognize you? And the only question you have is, what happened to this person? This is why you have to protect believers. You find out that your brother is struggling, your sister is struggling. That's not the time to mock them. You know, somebody used to be fired up for the Lord, and then they're no longer doing what they used to do. Yours is not to start saying, "Oh my goodness, I knew it. I knew you couldn't go on." No, that's not a good believer. Yours is to strengthen that person and ask, "What can I do to help you?" Praise the Lord. Because sometimes it's the Christians that don't know how to provide a home for others. Do you see what I mean? Real Christianity is not what you do in a church building. It's what you do after you leave church. Because some people know how to praise the Lord in church, but after they leave the church, "Oh, I've become slutty, slutty," whatever name they are. But in church, they're holy. After church, "Oh, I'm a slutty person." Praise the Lord. Those of you who are new, we say these things in IBS. It's not good. Do you see what I mean? And so you find that if you want people to become better believers, if you want people to become somebody that can actually run to you in times of issues, praise the Lord, it's how you receive them. So here, your zeal is an indicator of your strength in the Lord. When you're on fire, you are far from being cold. You notice that the Bible, Jesus even says, "I would rather want you cold or hot." You can't be in the middle. Sometimes I'm a believer, other times, what are those things? I've forgotten. What are they called? Sneaky links. I don't know what they are. But sometimes I can offer that to somebody, and other times I can be so spiritual. So some people have learned to be so spiritual and so carnal at the same time. Same person. Today I'm a pastor. The next day, oh, I'm sliding in somebody's DM, and there's a whole lot of weird conversations going on. Are you guys uncomfortable? If you are, I'm happy because it shows the message is hitting. Praise the Lord. Number one, be zealous by not comparing yourselves to other people. Very important. Amen. Be zealous by not comparing yourselves to other people. Somebody mentioned that, what's the word? I say, what's the word, Lois? It was you who said this. I say, controversial things. Apparently, I'm a controversial believer. And I'm happy you feel that way. Praise the Lord. So, number one, become zealous by not comparing yourselves to other Christians. Very important. There are some people that God has placed in our lives, not so that you start comparing yourselves to them. I'll give an example. Somebody you recognize as your leader, your mentor, is not somebody that you compare your compare, pardon me, your life to. Praise the Lord. Your mentor is a pattern that you are meant to follow. God uses people for patterns. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So Paul is saying that, use my life as a pattern, and then even as I'm following Christ, you can continue following me to the degree that I'm following Christ. So there are times when maybe you've seen somebody who, you know, they really love the Lord and they're thinking, "Oh, I would love to be like that person." Nothing wrong with that. I have a pastor, and when he begins to teach the word of God, I'm there like, "Oh my goodness, the way he teaches the word, I want to teach like that. I want to understand the word like he does." But not to the place where I want to be him. Praise the Lord. I love his principles. I love how he lives his life. I love those kinds of things. But then I can't compare myself to somebody that God has placed in my life to shepherd me because they are years ahead of me. Praise the Lord. And so sometimes we find ourselves comparing ourselves with other people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, "Don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are all as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are." The Bible says, but they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard. Look at that. Using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. So the Bible says that when we are comparing ourselves to others, we are ignorant. There was a time when I used to compare myself to my mentor because he could pray for so many hours and I couldn't. For me, after 5 minutes, praying for 5 minutes, like it was so much. Like if I've reached 5 minutes, I've maxed out how much I can pray for that day because I was still growing, right? And then here's a man who can. One time we used to have church every day. Yeah, I mean every single day when I got saved. Like I was exposed to a Christianity that was so, like, every day was church. So every night after prep, those of you who don't know what prep is, it's a period of time that you study. This is common for those of you that maybe went to a boarding school, right? I don't know if in day school people are prep. I have no idea, but in boarding school, there is a concept called prep. And this is a time when you're meant to be studying. So after prep, we would have fellowship for 30 minutes every day, except for Saturday. One time, my mentor decides, today, tonight, let's just worship the Lord. And I'm like, yeah, let's fellowship. And so we started, we're holding hands. And we are just blessing the name of the Lord. Father, Lord, you're so good. You're so kind. Oh, we love you, Lord. You know, just enjoying that moment of refreshment in the presence of the Lord. So, Father, you're good. You are kind. You are holy. You are beautiful. You are amazing. And that was us. 1 hour, and it's supposed to be 30 minutes. 1 hour, like, it's just an hour. So we can go on. Hey, it's now 2 hours. People are tired. They start leaving. And for some reason, he liked me so much, right? So they start leaving, the circle is becoming smaller, the number of people is reducing. And then I decide it's 2 hours, 30 minutes. And I'm like, okay, let me just go for 30 more minutes. And then I'm leaving. It's 3 hours. I'm about to leave. Then a hand reached out to me and held me and said, a few more minutes. And I'm thinking, sir, you said a few minutes 3 hours ago. Praise the Lord. Like, how is this a few minutes? I feel like your concept of time and my concept of time are two different things. And so we continue. Ladies and gentlemen, we prayed for 5 hours that day. Or just there, the man was crying. And I'm thinking, has somebody died? Because I didn't know that you could cry as a guy who loves the Lord. Usually, I just saw women doing that. And I'm seeing this guy crying. And I'm thinking, has somebody died in the realm of the spirit? Is it Moses? Who could it be so that I can also cry, right? But then the man just loves the Lord, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And so as we continued interacting, I wanted to be like him. I'm like, I want to pray, and I want to just, have one tear. You know, for gentlemen, when you're crying, it's usually just one tear by the left. By the left, is it a cornea? I don't know what it is. But the tip of your eye, just at the end. And so you find one little eye drop, and that's you crying as a guy. Praise the Lord. And so I'm thinking, I want to cry like my mentor and experience what the man is experiencing. And so I tried so much, but I couldn't. Because mentorship provides patterns, mentorship provides where you need to go. Your mentor is your cheat code. Those of you who played games before, you understand that a cheat code gets you to do certain things without actually putting you through the work that you needed to do. So mentors, pastors, those are your cheat codes. Praise the Lord. And so when you have a mentor, a pastor especially that you have a relationship with, ask questions. How did you get to this place? What is your view on life? Praise the Lord. So the minute you start comparing yourselves to other believers, you're going to become unfruitful because you never learn to see your own uniqueness. Another point I will mention about comparing is that God has called all of us differently. There are some people who God has called them even in the area of intercession. So for them, they might go 6 hours in prayer and it's like nothing. 2 hours and it's like nothing. I've come to understand for me, one of the areas that God has called me in is the area of intercession. So I can spend hours in the presence of the Lord. Even as I'm sharing, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to do what I do. No. Find out how God has called you. Praise the Lord. So I'm not asking you to pray for 12 hours. I'm not asking you to pray for 6 hours. I'm asking you not to compare yourself to another person and discover how God has called you. Praise the Lord. But one of the rituals I have, by the way, ritual is not a bad word. Because now you might think, oh, our founder is a ritualist. A ritual just means a habit. I know in Africa, rituals are associated with witchcraft. Praise the Lord. I'm not a witch, but I do have rituals. Amen. So a ritual is just a practice. So I have a ritual of praying for long hours every Friday. I started doing this in, I think, 2020. Praise the Lord. And so this is a time that I dedicate that on this day, I'm going to spend hours with the Lord. I just want to talk to God. I just want to fellowship with God. And this is a time when I also pray for all of you. I pray for all of you every day, but this is when I spend hours. Like today, I was doing warfare. That's why when you start winning, there's somebody who was warring over your life. I spent an hour and I'm just declaring certain things over IBS members. Praise the Lord. And when I started that, I saw that the Lord called me into intercession. I also use the time to pray for all my relatives. When I say my relatives, I don't mean my nuclear family. I mean my cousins, aunties, uncles, nephews, nieces. I have all their numbers, and then I'll be praying for them name by name. Lord, I pray for Brian. Lord, I pray for Lydia. Lord, I pray for this person, praise the Lord, because that's how God has called me. Now imagine you meet me on a Friday or you come visit me, and then you can't talk to me because I'm just praying. And so you might think, ah, Robbie is not the most interactive guy because I went to see him on a Friday, and all he was doing was just praying. He didn't even notice me. Hello, you came on the wrong day. Praise the Lord. So don't compare yourself to other believers. Find out how God has called you. That way, you have found wisdom for your own life. Amen. Are we following, ladies and gentlemen? We are so quiet. Is it because I say that I perform rituals? That, like, you're scared to comment because. Praise the Lord. Number two, become zealous by focusing on the soon coming of Christ. Amen. Become zealous by focusing. Your focus is on the soon coming of the Christ. Look, Jesus is coming back, and he's not coming to die for our sins. No. Praise the Lord. He's not coming to die for you. No. When he comes back, people are going to go to hell. It's going to be so exciting. Amen. So the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 is 2 to 3, it says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. It says, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Oh, yeah. It says they will not escape. So when you are thinking about the coming of Christ, you are being zealous. Do you know what that does for you? It makes you live your life a certain way. Imagine you hear that visitors are coming to your house. Suddenly, those dishes that you don't use in your home, they find themselves, in the public. They were living a private life, but the minute we hear there's a visitor, those special dishes come out. I need to go out in the public because visitors have come. They must use me. Praise the Lord. And then if you're born in the 90s like me, you find that back then our parents would keep food in their bedrooms. We had no idea that there was extra food. And so you'd be so hungry, and you have no idea that in the bedroom somewhere, there's a bottle of Mazoy. Praise the Lord. And so we'd notice when visitors come, that bottle comes out, and we're thinking, what? So I starved for no reason. Like I could have eaten, I could have had juice, but no, it's for the visitor. Praise the Lord. So when you have a mindset that the Lord Jesus is coming back, it makes you live your life a certain way. Live your life as if the Lord is coming tomorrow. Because look, he is coming. And the Bible is saying that he's going to come like a thief at night. Nobody prepares for a thief. That's why it's usually by surprise. You're shocked, like, oh, this place was attacked by certain people. Amen. When you're focusing on the Lord Jesus, the Lord has called you on this earth for a reason. Now, look, ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing is what you do for the Lord. I say this a lot of times. It won't matter how many degrees we have. They're important here, but when you go to heaven, Peter won't be there asking, oh, so how many degrees did you have? And I'm not speaking against education. I love studying. I'm a man of the books. I love to study. But my point here really is you need to identify the important things and keep your priorities straight. This is how come in Matthew 6, verse 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. So my first thing is to seek the kingdom of God. Come what may, my serving the Lord will not be touched. Whether I marry, whether I'm promoted, because these are the things that make people not become zealous. Now I'm in a relationship, so I can't go for praise and worship practice. I can't go for praise and worship rehearsal because, oh no, I have a boyfriend. Oh no, I'm married. Oh no, I'm the CEO of such and such a company. I usually mention that for the things you're asking God for, I hope you are preparing yourself to accommodate those things. The Bible says about the story of the talents, right? It says he gave one five, another two, and he gave one just one. Now, when you read that parable, ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about stewardship. How well you manage your affairs matters in the kingdom of God. Imagine you're failing to manage a kiosk, a whole kiosk, and you're believing God somehow for you to be a manager of big supermarkets. And yet, the kiosk that you're managing, you are not taking into account how much money is coming in. You're spending every amount that's coming. How are you going to manage the big supermarkets, ladies and gentlemen? Like, how would that happen? When you look at that story, the Bible says that the one who had five traded and gained five more. So when the king, when the master was settling accounts, these people were telling the master what they had done with the things he had placed in their hands. So a question to you, the things that the Lord has placed in your hands, the things that God has given you, the gifts, the talents, what are you doing with them? How are you maximizing? How is your stewardship? Because stewardship is what God gives mankind. The Bible says that the earth is given to the sons of men. Praise the Lord. This is how come when God created Adam, he was given an assignment. In Genesis 2, verse 15, the Bible says God placed the man in Eden to tend the garden. So why is Adam there? To tend the garden. So Eden becomes his center of domain, his area of domain, the area he's meant to exercise dominion. That's how come Adam could name the mosquitoes, the rats, the rabbits, the elephants. Genesis 2, verse 19, the Bible says God brought the animals to Adam to see. Oh my goodness, what he would call them. I love that. So God has given us stewardship. It says he brought them to the man so that the man could name them. Every animal, every creature that you see on the earth was named by the man called Adam. Yeah. And that is stewardship. The Bible goes on to say that the one who had two went to the master and said, look, I gained two more. The one who had one, he said, oh Lord, I know that you're a hard man and you reap where you've not sown. So I decided to hide this thing. The Bible says the master was angry and he called that man wicked and lazy. This is a message to us who are refusing to exercise the gifts God has given us. Oh no, I'm too shy. I'm too black. My accent is not the one because where I am, there's a diversity of cultures. So I feel like I have a funny accent. People won't listen to me. So you are saying no to yourself. Look, this world is ready to reject you. But then imagine rejecting your own self. The world is not ready for you already because of your ethnicity, because of your background, sometimes because of your gender. Now imagine you're saying no to you. How are you going to fight the system? Praise the Lord. So this man heard what God had placed in him. So what is it that God has given you? What is it that God has placed in your hands? Because there's one thing that Miss Patricia is meant to do here that nobody else can do. It's unique to her. There's something that Claudette has been given. There's something that Lois has been given. There is something that Peter has been given that only he should do. So question is, what are you doing with what God has placed in your hands? Amen. When you're thinking about Jesus, it makes you work for him. I'm serving the Lord. So I'm focused on the kingdom of God, not what the latest iPhone is. Because the latest iPhone will not be the latest one next year. Those guys make new phones every year. It's hard to keep up. I have no idea what number we are on. But those who love iPhones, of course, they know. You see what I mean? I want the latest one. The latest one will become outdated. But the Bible says everything will pass away, but the word of the Lord will remain the same. So I'm focused on the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Are we enjoying the meeting tonight? Amen. Let's move on. Number three, become zealous by fasting often. How many of us have ever fasted before and you felt like dying? I was fasting today. Oh my goodness, the hunger beat me up. Like I started looking sick just because I didn't eat. You see, that's why people don't like fasting. So sometimes people say, why don't you fast? Oh no, when I fast, the thing is I'll get hungry. Yes. You should get hungry. That's the point. You should get hungry. So the Bible says in Isaiah 58, verse 8 to 9, it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. There are certain things that cannot work until you fast. Do you remember Jesus? The Bible says that they brought certain sick people to the disciples. And so the man complained. He said, look, Jesus, I brought this case to your disciples, but they couldn't do it. And then Jesus was actually upset. Do you know that Jesus wants you to grow? Like he was mad. I don't know why when we think about Jesus, we always think of him as this cute lamb, you know. He's just this lamb that you can hold, you know, my little lamb of God. No, he was angry. And then he said, oh, you of little faith. After that, he called the man and says, bring this person to me. He prayed for the person. He rebuked the demon, the Bible says, and the person was whole. And then afterwards, the disciples asked him, how come we couldn't do it? And then he says, this one goes by prayer and fasting. Look, some of you come from families where there's a lot of witchcraft, but maybe you don't know. Maybe some of you are aware. There's a lot of, like your ancestors. They were the ones who started these herbal stuff. Don't feel bad about it. Look, when you discover that there's somebody in your family who's a witch, that's good news. Because you can deal with it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a dream that somebody's dying, it's good news. Look, listen to me. When I say it's good news, it means you can just pray and tell the Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that death. But then imagine you have no idea what's going on. So sometimes when people have bad dreams, they get depressed. Oh, I saw somebody dying. There was somebody who was sick. The fact that you have a dream, it means you can do something about it. There are times when people come to tell me, oh, I had this dream, and I'm excited. You know why? Because you can deal with it. Imagine not knowing what to do. So, how do you know what prayers to pray? But if I know there's a sickness, there's death there, so we can just speak preservation in the name of Jesus, you will not die. And then the case is done. Do you know what the Bible says? It says that God has given you the power and authority to trample on all snakes and scorpions. God has given you the power to deal with the devil himself. So demonic activities are smaller than the power that God has given you. The Bible says that everything is under Christ, and we are the body of Christ. So if everything is under Christ, it means everything is also under us. But the problem is that we elevate Satan more than we glorify God. Everything, the devil. I didn't do it in school, the devil. Meanwhile, the person was not studying. No, the reason why my relationship is not working, the devil. Meanwhile, the person has never learned how to communicate well. They have poor attitudes, but it's the devil. And so the devil is getting problems that he's not doing because Christians are ignorant about their authority. There's an authority you have as a believer, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you need to pray and fast, because it makes you exercise your authority. There are certain things that shouldn't be happening in your family, at your workplace, at your school, because you are there. Let me tell you a little story. There was a man called Abraham in the Bible. And so God says, I can't do this thing without telling my friend Abraham. Can you imagine being God's friend? That was Abraham. And so he begins to tell Abraham, he said, oh, by the way, I'm killing the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to light a fire on them and I'm going to burn them. They are going. I'm tired of them. Like, their wickedness has reached the heavens, so I'm tired. I mean, God has a record of that. Remember, there was a time when people were tripping, and then he sent a flood. So, he's got a track record. And so he tells Abraham, look, I'm going to kill these people. And then Abraham knows that, oh, but I have a nephew there. So if I don't do anything about this, my nephew is going to die. So Abraham begins to speak to the Lord. Lord, what if there were 10 righteous people? In fact, he started from, I think, 50. He went all the way to 10 just because he was thinking of his nephew. The next thing, imagine, look, the angels had already left before the conversation started. And the thing that God told them is go and kill everybody. But by the time they arrived, somehow the message had reached them that, look, go and save Lot. Read it well. You find that they were going to kill people, but it changed. They went to Lot's house instead and said, look, we've come to save you here, please. That same day, we discovered homosexuality. So there were people who came and said, look, we've seen men. men came and they were sexually appealing. We've seen men. We want to go to them. And then the guy says, look, I have daughters who are virgins. Why don't you get my daughters? It's not okay. You can't do this to the men. No, we love the men. We want the men because we are gay people. And this is what gay people do. So it's in the Bible, right? But then Abraham prayed. In the end, you know what happened? Lot's family was saved, except for the wife, because she decided to look back. Do you see what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, pray and fast. Amen. For some of the situations you have, they require you to exercise authority by praying and fasting. You want to go to school, you've been having challenges for so long. Why won't you pray and fast? If you don't know how to do it, look, just send me a message. Praise the Lord, and I will help you. If you don't know how to start, I've done fasting on behalf of other people before. Now, when I say on behalf of other people, I don't mean that I'll be fasting meanwhile you're eating. No, I mean we'll be doing it together, because I can't fast and then you're eating mangoes. No. If you're fasting, I'm fasting as well. Praise the Lord. And I can give you guidance on how to do it. So you need to be praying and fasting. It's very important. Personally, I do it once every week. Amen. And then when you pray and fast, look, you're not just deciding not to eat. You're supposed to pray. Some people decide, I'm not going to eat because they're broke. And they don't know I was praying and fasting. Meanwhile, they were just broke. Do you see what I mean? So when you're praying and fasting, you're deciding, I'm going to spend some time in this issue. Oh, yeah, I'm taking it to the Lord. You see, my pastor, there are certain things that he gets excited about. And he always teaches, look, you can't be scared of the enemy, because people are always elevating the devil. Oh, the devil is the devil. That, no. Amen. I'm going to spend some time in prayer. By the time I'm done, oh, the Bible says he's given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So what I bind, do you see that? He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So my voice is so powerful that what I decide on earth, oh, they put a signature in heaven. Oh my goodness, so I can decide to pray in the name of Jesus. By the end of the year, that girl I'm marrying, praise the Lord, story for somebody here tonight. Hallelujah. Are we following the message tonight? Wonderful IBS. So you begin to pray. Oh, I'm clearing in the mighty name of Jesus. The finances I need, oh my God, I'm receiving them. Amen. So that's how you do it. So you need to pray and fast. Number four, become zealous by not forgetting what the Lord has done for you. Yeah, because sometimes we are forgetful. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 14, it says, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 in the NLT, it says, but watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories rather, escape from your mind as long as you live. It says, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Do you see? So the Lord brought you from a life of maybe fornication. And even as I say these things, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about things that happen to people. Don't be afraid of, or don't glorify your past. God has delivered you from it. But each time you start your message with believers, oh no, I used to be a chief fornicator. It's not important. There was a time Paul would say, I used to be a chief persecutor. But then you notice afterwards, the man was converted. He now started saying, I am a servant of Christ. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, it says he's a new creature. So the things used to do in the past, oh, they don't matter because in the Lord, it says anyone is in Christ is a new creature. Behold, all things are new. So I'm anointed. But some of us are afraid to say we are anointed because, oh, you don't understand where I have come from. No. In the context of Christ, there's newness. Amen. So what has the Lord done for you? You know where the Lord picked you up from. And so you find sometimes, and it happens when people are promoted. I'm now the CEO. I've now married the person I wanted to marry, or I've been found by a man because all I want is to identify as a missus. And ladies, this is usually the biggest challenge. Usually it's with women when they get into a relationship. A woman who's in love, oh, it's so hard to convince about anything. No, my man, my man, my man, my man, my man, my man, oh, my man. And so you find sometimes sisters are willing to leave the church to go and get a boy and then bring the boy from the bush to the church. Oh no, he's going to be saved. The man gets saved and then the man decides, I don't like you. Oh, heartbreak. You don't date people to Christ. You see what I mean? You don't date people to Christ. No. Praise the Lord. So the Lord has brought you from somewhere. Are you going to forget him because I'm now a CEO? Usually the Lord knows. That's why you find that God would test the Israelites. He says, I tested them to see what's in their heart. Sometimes these things come just so we can see what's actually in the heart of this person. The minute a person has money, now we know what's in their heart. The minute a person just has a little authority, a little leadership powers, now we can see this is how this person talks to everybody else. No, I'm the leader. My word is final. You can't do anything. And then the Lord is thinking, you are just a leader of five people. And this is how you are talking to the people. What happens if God gives you a nation? Do you see? So whenever we're praying and asking God to bless us, I hope we are also increasing our capacity to handle those things. Amen. What am I becoming because of what the Lord has given me? Am I forgetting him? Now I can't give tithe because, oh, I'm making a million. Somehow I can't remove 100,000. It's too much. Do you know it's harder to tithe with a bigger amount than with a smaller amount? If you're getting 1,000, it's easy to give 100. But now you're making a million. I should remove 100,000 and give it to the Lord. Oh, no, it's too much money. But it's the same 10% that you've been given all along. So what happened? Do you see what I mean? So be careful that you don't forget where the Lord picked you up from. I know where I came from. That's why I'm serving the Lord very well, doing my best. You know, before I was saved, it was bad. Like I was a chief sinner, like I'm the guy. Have you ever been the guy before? I was the guy. And so I got saved. I'm like, there's something better. And I'm grateful. I got saved when I was 17 years old. I was a teenager. Now imagine before I was a teenager, before I was 17, the kinds of things I was doing. I was that guy, popular guy in school. But then I didn't know because from a young age, people usually followed me. I didn't know that, oh, God had actually given leadership in me. But I didn't know. Do you see what I mean? But the minute I got saved, then I got exposed to who I am. You can never know who you are until you experience the Lord. That's how come Paul, before he's Paul, right? God talks to Ananias and says, there's a man I've anointed. He says, this is the one I'm going to use to speak to the Gentiles and to the Jews. This is what he's going to do. He's going to serve me in such a way. And then this man is saying, no, I've heard of him. He's been killing Christians. But God said, no, I've rewritten his story, praise the Lord. So God has picked you up from somewhere, and you're not going to serve him. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Number five, I have 6 points. Number five, become zealous by committing yourself to spiritual teachings like this. When you are able to attend a church meeting, a meeting like this one, it means your zeal for the Lord is there. I mentioned that your zeal is how strong you are in the Lord. The Bible says in Luke 2, verse 4, 46 to 47, it says, now so it was that after 3 days, they found him. Can you imagine? Jesus had been missing for 3 days. And the reason is because he wanted to just receive the word of God. Some of us, you find that we fail to go to church, which is 5 kilometers away from home. But a boy who lives 400 kilometers away, we can travel. A girl who's like so many kilometers away, I can travel, get on a bus, I'm going to see my baby. But the church, 5 kilometers away, oh no, I woke up late. It's not good. You see, it says sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. This is Jesus. So you need to commit to spiritual teaching. We have a podcast. You know, one thing I've noticed that sometimes we don't listen to the word of God enough. A Sunday service isn't enough for a believer. No, it's not. Because what happens if you have a bad day on Tuesday? Are you going to wait for Sunday for you to become better? So on Wednesday, I'm depressed. Thursday, I'm depressed. Friday, I'm depressed. Saturday, I'm depressed. Sunday, oh, I'm okay. Then after I leave the church, I've gone back to my depression. Do you know why? Because we've not created an environment that allows the word of God to continually speak to our hearts. And you have to be deliberate. I'm going to decide to listen to the teachings. Deliberately, I listen to my pastor's podcast. This is apart from Sunday and midweek services. Deliberately, because I want to continually learn to hear the voice of the shepherd that God has placed in my life. Praise the Lord. Some of you, because of how much you listen to me, I visit you in your dreams. Do you know what that means? It just means that you listen to me. That's all. Do you see? You find that, I think there was somebody who shared a testimony earlier this week, and they mentioned that they were failing to pray. And somebody appeared, well dressed, by the way, like I am, because being fresh is an anointing. So anyway, they have this dream. And in the dream, I'm encouraging them, telling them, don't stop praying. And I'm thinking, yes, at least I was well dressed. Praise the Lord. Because somebody listens to somebody they see as their mentor, or somebody they see as somebody who teaches them the word of God. Praise the Lord. So create channels that allow you to continually hear the voice of your teachers. The Bible says, no longer will you put my teachers, your teachers, in a corner. And then he says, you will hear a voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. So this means the minute you are able to have a teaching priest in your life, you know, you hear the word of God better. There was a man called Samuel. The Bible says in his time, the word of God was rare. Then the Lord started calling him, but he didn't know that was the Lord. So he went to Eli and said, are you the one who's calling me? He said, no. The second time it happened, are you the one who's calling me? So Eli noticed that, oh, the Lord wants to speak to the boy, but he has not yet sharpened his listening skills. So he's missing the word. But you know, his mentor had to tell him that the Lord is the one who's speaking to him. Do you see? So have a teaching priest. Have times when in a week you can decide, I'll be listening to a podcast, proper podcast where I'm listening to the word of God, whether it's your church. And then in IBS, we have a podcast. For free. Amen. You're not paying for it. We pay 500 kwacha every month for it. Just so that people can receive the word of God. Praise the Lord. The final one for tonight, and we are out of here. Become zealous by committing to the vision. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2, verse 2 to 3, it says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, oh, write the vision and make it plain on tablets." Praise the Lord. It says that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. I love this. It says, though it tarries, wait for it. Oh boy, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. There's a vision. There's a vision. Be zealous by committing to the vision. How are you committing to this vision? I can tell you how to commit. By sharing the flyers. It's those small things of just sharing the flyers. A flyer has been sent, and we share many flyers in IBS. In fact, after this, I'm about to share more flyers. Why? Because it's the way of broadcasting our messages. How will people know that there's IBS? How will people know there's a platform where they can receive the word of God, where there's a young man dressed so well and who's going to teach the word of God? How will they ever know if we're not sharing the flyers? At your church, how are you participating in the vision that God has given your pastor? What are you doing about the vision? Amen. What are you doing with the message that you're receiving? The message shouldn't die in your hands. My pastor always says that nothing should die in your hands. Imagine God has given you a cell, maybe a cell leader. Far be it from you that numbers should reduce when you become the leader. No. Amen. Not me. Whatever the Lord has placed in my hand, you see, the parable of the talents, it actually multiplies. And it's my responsibility to multiply. Praise the Lord. So commit yourself to the vision. Understand what we are doing and be a part of it. Because when you are part of it, when the vision grows, guess who's getting blessed? It's you, the vision carriers. Praise the Lord. Learn to catch the spirit of the vision. Don't just catch feelings. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining tonight, wonderful IBS. Let me pray for you. We've come to the end of the meeting. Praise the Lord.